Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We didn't even get a chance to say hello properly, but we can do so on air. Aoife Hunter of Aoife McGill Personal Training. How are you getting on, Aoife?
Good, great. How are you?
Good. What's your views about us trying to make life changes at the start of the year? Is it a good thing to do, bad thing to do, or is it just depends on the individual?
No, do you know what? I do think it's a good time of year to reset. I like January and September to reset. I think everybody's a bit fed up now, the sweet treats and the heavy meals over the month of December. Really, Christmas parties and things start maybe even towards the end of November. So it's a good time to reset and start to create some healthy habits again.
And I suppose, what's the best way of doing this then? Is it to have a plan? Is it to set goals? Is it to... And I'm not necessarily talking about weight goals. I'm on about sort of activity goals.
Yeah, in general, I think across the board, it's a good time of year to set goals with your nutrition and your exercise habits. In relation to both, I sort of always like, I think I mentioned a few times before about sort of the healthy habits to create that you can sort of adapt into your daily routine and maintain them. Like, consistency is a key. Mm. Five real habits, I suppose, with my work and things, I always relate to them as five golden guidelines. So one is as simple as just upping your water intake daily.
Talk to me about the water intake. How important is that, though? What does it
hugely,
do?
Hugely. Like, hugely. Keeps your body hydrated for a start. But, like, the recommended daily allowance for, well, men and women is roughly about 8 glasses a day. But really, how many of us do that over 7 days of the week? And for good health alone, it is massively important. And a lot of the time when people feel hungry, they're dehydrated. So I would focus on the water intake.
Have you drank any glasses. Water yet?
I have. How much? I have my glasses this morning. 2 glasses I've got on me and a herbal
yet.
Tea. Your teas can count.
I've had two.
You promised
two
last year you would up your
I
water.
I know that, but I promised lots of people lots of things. I do want to. I do be good at it, but then I'd be forgetful,
yeah.
Right?
So, that's a
like,
good point.
I went to get my back. I had issues with my back and had to keep reapplying the... oil or whatever it is, because my skin was soaking up. I was so dehydrated, my skin was literally drinking this stuff.
Imagine.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what really brought home to me, you know, the relationship between your body and hydration or dehydration.
Uh-huh.
Right, no, so you've had green tea. Well done. That's a point for you. I've had 2 cups of coffee. That's a zero for me. So you're talking about 8, okay?
8 to 10, yeah. Like, that'd be a rough gauge. Somebody more active would need more.
Of course.
But really, your average person would be 8 to 10. I'm
sitting here, my lips are so dry, right, because I'm dehydrated. I'm trying to moisten them because in case it's so bloody obvious.
Keep a bottle beside you.
I know, yeah. Okay.
That's just one of the wee tips.
I really am definitely going to try and work on that. I have been trying to improve certain things, so that's definitely going to be one of them. Okay, so that's a key thing. That's a simple thing. We can all
simple.
Do that.
So
is a bit simple. Of Mawadi through it okay?
I would. You could go with your sugar-free versions, you know, of your diluted juice, and it's no harm at all.
I think some I asked you that last year.
Sparkling water, whichever way you get it in.
Okay, right.
But then the second, like, the water is one. Another one at your meals, I would just try to get a bit of colour on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just for nutrient value and everything. Third, simply move more.
Yeah.
No, as far as exercise goes. Back to nutrition, sorry, protein. I always like to emphasize
protein.
So I would always recommend try to get a bit of protein at most meals.
Yes.
Because it does a variety of things for the body. But your sources would be, it doesn't have to be your meat, your fish, your eggs, which are great sources, but the likes of Greek yogurts and things. Remarkably this year, and probably into last year as well, a lot of our local supermarkets have really, really jumped on the bandwagon with the protein, and they have loads of like handy pouches you can take if you're on the run,
and
if you're
okay,
busy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And is that to do with energy, is it?
Yeah.
Is that like slow release?
Do you know what? It's a thermic effect that on your body on the breakdown of protein. So your body, in simple terms, just uses more calories to break down the protein, so it can aid body fat loss.
Right.
Your body breaks down fats and carbohydrates a lot quicker, has to work harder to break down your protein sources. But the main thing, really, it keeps you fuller for longer, which is hugely important. And it helps retain your muscle mass. So it really is like the holy grail of your macronutrients.
Okay, so that's
the rest
really
are important. I wouldn't go low fat or low carbohydrate, but emphasize your protein.
So that's another just little thing you can do.
So
we're already
so at
3 things, right?
3 things.
You talked about moving more. Since the last time I spoke to you, they sort of downgraded the amount of daily steps you need to get the benefits of it from 10 to 2,000.
See, I was never a big one on the 10,000 steps anyway. For like, I find that sometimes if somebody wasn't getting, if you have somebody sedentary and they weren't getting their 10,000 steps a day, they're automatically deflated and they feel not as good as somebody else who's on their feet all day and getting those steps.
And it might seem like a non-achievable target.
Unachievable, that's it. And that's exactly the word, back to being not sustainable or attainable.
So my watch tells me how many steps I do a day, right? So do they count against activity?
Yeah.
Or, so you don't have to literally, like, I mean, obviously it's, we're going to talk about maybe getting out for a walk or what have you. Uh-huh. But you're, when you talk about sedentary versus active, you know, if you're walking around or busy or in and out and this, that all counts, does it? Yeah.
You're basically on your feet.
All right.
Use the stairs, park in the farthest away car park of the supermarket, you know, anything to get a bit of activity in throughout your
and
day.
And it all adds up, even if it's in small bits, it adds up throughout the course.
You know, it just saves you from seizing up, you know, it's, in simple terms.
Mm-hmm. All right, okay, so that's that. Those are, we can do that. That's three or four we can definitely do. What else?
Oh, they're all simple, really, really simple. So what did I forget?
Well, we've done walking, water, greens.
Proteins, your greens, and your calorie deficit is one that I always recommend, because myself, yourself, and 10 other people clean up, but you want to be in a maintainable calorie deficit. January is a typical term where somebody will go for 1,200 calories a day because they heard somebody say that was a good thing to do. I wouldn't touch it. Mm-hmm. Why? You'll be hungry. You know, it's just and moody and everything else that comes with that, lethargic. You want, for example, like for a woman, your RDA for calories is 2,000 calories a day. Mm-hmm. Men is 2,500. So if you were just to reduce that even by, say, 200 a day over 7 days, you'll have your calorie deficit and not feel deprived.
And that means that your body is burning more than you're taking in.
Exactly. Okay. Like, we all have this thing called,
so you won't gain weight with a calorie deficit.
No, you're looking to lose body fat.
Yeah.
I kind of like the term to lose body fat more so than weight, because again, back to the weighing scale, and if you gain muscle mass it always and whatnot. So I would aim for losing body fat and not so much worry about body weight.
Yeah,
so
maybe it's how your clothes fit.
Go over the clothes, exactly. Get a tape measure, check around your midsection.
I don't think we're good at looking at ourselves in the mirror anyway, because sometimes we see what's not there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, and the scales, I mean, my weight, I kind of, like, you know, you'd go up in the scales, but depending on the time of the day, your weight can vary by 4 or 5 pounds.
I mean, you up your water. Yeah. And I have people genuinely who will not get on the scale when they come in the door to the run to the bathroom first. I mean, it is so menstrual cycle. Everything has got like an effect on the scale. How much food is in the gut, you know, throughout the day. You could be 2 pounds lighter in the morning than you are in the evening. It's not a true reflection of your body fat loss.
Mm. Water or hydration. Does tea count as hydration?
Tea is a diuretic, you know. So liquids, get your liquids in. But you don't want to get dehydrated. So I would have your tea. Herbal teas would tend to, for a few reasons, is because...
Yeah, but herbal tea is disgusting.
You won't dunk a biscuit in it.
No, but I mean, like, your cup of tea is lovely. Herbal tea is vile.
Have your tea. Have your coffees. I would cut nothing out, but maybe lesser. Now, your teas, that's okay, as long as it's not 3
spoons
of sugar.
Well, you don't want to be saying, I'm fine, I've had 10 cups of tea today.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Especially if you have a spoon of sugar in it or something or whatever. Uh-huh. So, does tea count against hydration? Yes. Should you get all your hydration from tea?
No.
Possibly no, yeah?
There you go.
Okay, so try and maybe cut one cup of tea out firstly, and have a glass of water instead.
There you go.
Okay. We're getting there. Right, so then the thing is, where do we start? Like, where do you start? Because I know what I want to do, right? Uh-huh. And this is not all really me talking about, maybe some of it is, but I know where I want to be, and it might not even be incredibly ambitious, but I just can't take that literally the first step. Yeah. Now, for some, it might be standing up and sitting down in the chair a bit more.
I would... across the board, say you start tomorrow, slowly, gradually over the next 6, 8, 12 weeks to add an extra wee element in. But as far as nutrition goes, go and do a food shop, plan the meals for the week so that you're not rushing to the bread shop and picking up the convenience bits and pieces on the way. Exercise-wise, then, it depends where you're starting. If you're completely sedentary and have done nothing in years and years, then start off with a simple walk. If you have ailments and things, a walk in the pool, it'll help. A swim is fantastic.
But you could be that person that has maybe some balance issues, and it could be simply because you're not walking enough.
Exactly.
The muscle's not reacting as it should, because a lot of that stuff is involuntary, isn't it?
Yeah, and things like arthritis and osteoporosis, that people are terrified of exercise, but you couldn't do better. Mm. And one thing that I couldn't recommend enough for those people is strength training. And people, women in particular, are terrified of it. And women in particular should really, really strength train. Not working out like a bodybuilder, but you can strength train with light You can do it with your own body weight at home. You can go to a trainer with light dumbbells, kettlebells. You can even use resistance bands. But the strength training, again, paired with your protein, can do wonders for, mm-hmm. for a body.
A disabled person can't walk. What can they do to exercise? Waving their arms around is boring as hell. And you can get that, but you know that person might benefit from a greater upper body strength.
Just so, strength training, exactly.
So we're talking about, it could be two bean cans or...
Yeah, I would even go to the... But maybe an assessment with a trainer, maybe
yeah,
initially.
Course,
like Donegal's got a broad range of facilities, even close to here. We've got like No Barriers, and then we've got like our own facilities. The nation or county way, there's loads. But for that person to save it in a chair, I'm assuming it's from the lower body down.
That's
maybe that's
the
wrong
I'm
assumption.
Getting. No, that's what they seem to be part. Indicating.
But definitely upper body strength training. You know, dumbbells, kettlebells, resistance bands, loads, you know.
Yeah, okay. What about eggs? Just wondering, is too many eggs bad for you?
It might
be bad for your partner, but anyway, go ahead.
In moderation, I would go the eggs as well. But eggs is a great source in the morning to kickstart your protein for the day. But I appreciate too, not everybody's got the time. Mm. So I would maybe alternate your eggs and bacon one morning to your porridge. Or
but you can boil the eggs the night before.
Well, that's true.
You know,
did you do that this morning?
No, I didn't. But I can whip up scrambled egg in no time at
okay.
all.
So
eggs... They're good for you, but I mean, you're not having eggs morning, noon, and night.
Do you know another thing? You get in your supermarkets now, you like egg white. So it's got the lesser calorie,
That's meringue, isn't it?
So you can meringue for breakfast. You know, if you're
so
conscious
sweet.
Of too many eggs, you could balance it out with, say, an egg to two egg whites or something like that.
It's the most versatile food eggs. You can have them in so
fantastic.
Many different ways, and they taste different almost whichever way you go to cook them.
Lunches.
So say, for instance, right, I don't want chips with my things. So say I'm having chicken or whatever it might be, so I don't want chips. What's a good substitute for that? Is rice good for you?
Yeah, your rice. And like back to the...
Because I could eat rice all the time.
Yeah, and you know, I assume if you're eating out, I suppose everything you're not sure how it's cooked, usually I suppose in the deep fat fryer, but from home, like the air fryers have got so popular.
Yeah.
You know, so the chips, really, you're cutting up your fresh potato, that's fine. You
Is
know,
it?
You just spray it with a bit of your... oils or your fry light sprays and things like that, you know. It doesn't, people don't restrict yourself. If you if you like your chips, have them.
This is not good advice you're giving me here at all. If you don't restrict myself.
No, because it's not sustainable then long term. Lesser, what you like. That's why I'm not a lover of food plans.
Yeah.
Like people come through the door, I would say, tell me what you like. I cut nothing off you, maybe cut back and have suggestions of other.
But this kind of comes back, doesn't it, to the calorie deficit?
Exactly.
It doesn't really. If you can eat the food that you like, it's the amount, the quantity and the regularity with which
exactly.
you're eating, isn't it? Because if you are consuming less calories than you would ordinarily burn in a day, you're never going to gain weight. And hopefully if you start to cut back, as you say, you know, over a period of time, you will burn fat. Because
and that is absolute.
It's like a car using petrol. It just is a fact,
exactly.
isn't it?
And you might get to a stage too where you get your maintenance weight and you're happy, and then you can maintain your a certain calorie content or deficit. But the one thing I'd really, really hone in on the and such as the calorie deficit is over 7 days. It's absolutely pointless to be really perfect with it Monday to Thursday and forget about it Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah,
because come towards, as I said, 7 days, 48 a month, there may have been no deficit at all.
Yeah, I get you. All right. Now, we, as you mentioned, we've got many, many professionals around, including yourself at Aoife McGill Personal Training and all across the county. And they're really quite accessible in different places as well. They're there for a reason. They're professionals. They will give you advice. They'll give you some guidance, wouldn't you? You know, and we go to professionals in many areas of our life. You know, say, for instance, if you want to stop smoking, you do the HSC system,
exactly.
you're far more likely to succeed.
Yeah,
so,
support network, I think. Yeah.
Exactly. So in terms of our health, why wouldn't we sort of, at least in the first instance, go in and get some support and some help, maybe take a membership? It depends on the individual.
Uh-huh.
So we should try and find the money or the time to do that, I think. You would endorse that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. You know, and as I say, not everybody needs the likes of our services. But if you feel like you're stuck and you've tried everything and you want that bit of advice and help, then surely call on us, as you say, across the county. There's loads of professionals willing to help that you might not need long term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you just need the knowledge to get going, and you can keep at it yourself and maybe a public leisure centre or at home. you know. But it's just, let's say in relation to strength training and things, is learning the correct techniques. Mm-hmm. Not so much downloading apps off phones and, you know, not necessarily getting it correct. So you don't want to end up with injury and things like that.
Well, that's it. But you can also help prevent injury with exercising, can't you? Because, you know, if you suffer with back problems, you know, support your core strengthening will help in that regard. Okay. You know, if you suffer with, you know, tension in your back and neck, stretching, exercising.
We don't do enough of stretching. No, we don't stretch.
We don't do any stretching. Between me and you, I think one of us does, right? Okay. But and other things, you also mentioned, you know, osteoporosis and supporting the bones and what have you, stronger muscles. Do you know what I mean? So it's not, when we talk about exercising and being fit, the instant, for maybe someone in this, like, say, still thinking about body shape and weight.
Exactly.
But the benefits far beyond that, don't they? And the mental health, we haven't even touched on that.
Hugely. This is the thing. Like, there is an element sort of modern day, which is a bit sad, to be honest, that things have gone a bit aesthetic, but it's not what it is all about. But health and fitness is somebody who struggles, somebody who has osteoporosis or arthritis or whatever it is, diabetes, there's loads and loads and loads of benefits for us all. Health benefits, mental health, as you say. Sure, I always say, and I know it's maybe such a cliche, but if you could genuinely bottle the effects of exercise, you'd have a miracle cure for a lot of things.
And listen, so many people say it, and it's not just people who help people, it's those that have started to exercise themselves and feel better about it. It's not surprising, I suppose, this time of year that the TV shows are coming out. You know, I don't know what they're called again. Don't watch them. I hope they don't still weigh people on those shows.
Do you know they do a lot of them?
It's kind of counterintuitive to the message people like yourselves to try to get out there, to boil it down to humiliating yourself on telly and getting up on weighing scales.
I always have a bit of issue with that because it is just it's a tool, surely. There's no denying that, but we do call it the sad step. I mean, it's not a true reflection of your hard work month long. You know, there's so many factors that influence the weighing scale, and I would genuinely take progress pictures of yourself. Nobody else needs to see them, but say at 4 weeks, 8 weeks and 12 weeks, and you'll see your shape changing. It's all about the body fat loss, you know, not the weight. You gain muscle that weighs on a weighing scale, and it would drive you crazy, really, if you're holding it in too much.
Because it's the disappointment people have then. Yeah. You know, so say, oh, I gained 2 pounds this week.
Yeah.
Go and have a poo. I don't mean it. I know it really sounds like a thing I was saying was screwed. I don't mean it, but that is when you are looking at the scales, it comes down to stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know,
so many factors. Yeah. That is so true.
But anyway, so Aoife, it is a good time now, I think. Listen, it's a new year.
Yes.
We all want to be strolling up the beach.
The summer's around the corner.
Our bungee smugglers looking fantastic. But if people want sort of have a chat with you, and I think people from speaking to you will realise it's a realistic chat. And I've spoke to some, as I said before, you know, there's a brilliant community of personal trainers out there, and they really want people through the door to make positive changes and impacts in their lives. And that's one of the key motivators for someone like yourself.
There's no better feeling, you know, when you feel like you've helped somebody along the way. Okay. And as I say, a broad range of people. So it's not just your, as you say, this time of year, there seems to be a thing where people assume it's your athlete who's looking to go and run an adventure race by Easter. Mm. It's not. It's looking for somebody to help somebody who doesn't know where to start. They're absolutely blind to it, terrified of it. Come in, let us help you, and we're there for anybody who needs it.
Okay, listen, and if you listen to us today, and it has kick-started, you remember us and come back to us in a month or two or 3 months or 4 months and tell us how you're feeling now. Aoife, it's always a pleasure having you in.
Thank you very much.
Aoife Hunter of Aoife McGill Personal Training. You can check Aoife out on Facebook, Aoife McGill Personal Training. And as I say, we've got loads of friends working in this industry as well who will be more than happy to help. Quickly before I let you go, what's the best thing to eat for putting weight on in a healthy way? Not crisps, because there are people too actually looking to increase their weight.
Yeah, like that. Like, we touch on calorie deficit for body fat loss, but for body fat gain. Now, you could talk to a professional as well, but it's like upping the calories, upping the protein. Like, say, for example, your protein recommendation for your average moderately active man or woman is about a gram of protein per kg of body weight. Now, if you're more active, it'd be pushing closer to 2 grams or whatnot. So that person could put, I'm assuming now they're health swell and everything, and they would need to get their go ahead from the GP, but they're up their protein, up their calories, and that'll come down to their BMR and BMI. But like that, if they need help, we're always there to give some more details.
Is BMI important?
Yeah, BMR more so, but
you see, BMI, you have to measure your tank. you know what I mean? It can look good on paper, but you really have to put your tank in there as well if you're a fella, don't you? All right, Aoife, thanks for your time. We'll be back with more after the break. We were talking to Gillian about hospital food. That lady must never have been in Letterkenny Hospital. Best food in Ireland. I think that's good too. I agree, I said that myself. The food in Letterkenny's excellent, in my opinion, says another caller. Been in and out of Letterkenny Hospital several times and the food is very good. Yeah, indeed, that's the experience locally. So, in fact, if nothing else has come out of that interview, lots of people have been able to praise the catering staff at Letterkenny University Hospital. In terms of hospital food, nutrition, the key is in resourcing the right ingredients. Or sourcing them. Local organic produce, free of chemicals and GMOs, of course. This will be a bit more expensive, however, what could aid a patient more in their recovery. Another, hospital food was always excellent. Family and friends would agree that it was always good. I don't know what kitchen she was going to. She's condemning everything about hospital food, which I think is totally wrong. But listen, it's her experience. She's a cystic fibrosis patient in and out of three Dublin-based hospitals. And that was her experience. And as I say, it's given us an opportunity to praise the staff at Letterkenny University Hospital, which people are doing in their dozens, which is good, isn't it? Okay. Right, what time is it? It is time for Business Matters.
Business Matters, in association with Atlantic Technological University, Donegal. Study for a Doctorate of Business Administration and obtain the highest level management qualification available. Visit atu.ie/DBA.
And you're very welcome back to the programme after that 15-second break. It was just to welcome our friend Chris Ashmore. Good morning, Chris. Happy New Year to you.
And to you.
Any New Year's resolutions?
No.
Good. Because you're perfect. What could you change?
Do you know, I didn't give it much thought at all this year.
But I think a lot of traditional stuff like that is not pushed as much anymore.
Yeah, I think
it used to always be asked, and now it's very rare. Only bald idiots ask that question now.
It's good to be back into a routine, though.
It is, yes, indeed. Yeah. But it was also good to have a break.
Absolutely. A lovely, life balance.
Lovely Christmas, actually, I must say. Right, okay. Local Enterprise Office, they're always in a routine. They're always busy and plenty coming up from them.
Yeah, a number of events coming up this month as we sort of get back into normality. On Friday week, that's January the 12th, there's a virtual business support clinic. Lots of useful advice there. You can go online for that. And the first of this year's always popular Start Your Own Business programs. Well, that's on Tuesday, February the 6th for the next one of those. And you can get more details on the local enterprise office website. So, something to look out for, and some advance notice as well that the Local Enterprise Office and Enterprise Europe Network are hosting a webinar on the 30th of January. It's called Going Green, Reduce Costs and Carbon Footprint, basically focusing on the energy efficiency grant, which is available to businesses. And local man Ronan McIntyre from Max Deli in Letterkenny, he'll be on the webinar to share his experience. And look, we all know about the need to improve energy efficiency in businesses, and there is support there. So why not find out more about that?
Yeah. The easiest way to get people to change is to show people the advantages of it, rather than maybe punitive tax. On to your eye across planning.
Yeah, there's been a flurry of planning applications in just before the end of the year, and the last few weeks, seems every week there seems to be a new housing development. Which is good to see, given the housing shortage and increase in population. So just looking at some of the things that are in the pipeline at the moment, turning to Remelton, first of all, Glenmac Developments Limited have been given the green light by the County Council for the completion of a previously approved housing development. Now, quite a lot of developments had been, planning permission had been sought a number of years back. They hadn't gone through. There is a time limit on planning permissions, and then you can get that extended. So bottom line, plans for 45 new properties at Ballybow in Remelton. In Carndonagh, Ampco Builders Company Limited, well, they've been given planning permission to proceed with the construction of 23 houses at Churchland Quarters in the town. Meanwhile, the Apex Housing Association, they're planning to build 32 houses at Convoy Town Parks in Convoy. Initial stages of the planning application underway there. And in Ballybuffet, Long March Development Limited, seeking planning approval to build 36 new houses at the beaches in the Navanay area of the town. So plenty in the pipeline. Yeah,
indeed. And Business Matters, the pod, is available for you to stream or download from our website now. We'll tell you when it's broadcast a little later on. But your guest this week, Chris.
Guest this week, Tony Forrester, Chief Executive Officer of Letterkenny Chamber. And founded in 1965, the Chamber will celebrate its 60th anniversary next year. Plays a significant role in fostering business development and promoting opportunities to create a thriving business environment. And it's
did you members- cut and paste that off their website, Chris?
No, I think I added in the word thriving. Thriving. I like that word. So it's grown considerably. Now is more than 300 members, and appropriate to speak with Tony Forrester as she reflected on 2023, looking ahead to this coming year. And she's very upbeat about the future for Donegal's largest town. And she is basically explaining to me about how the Chamber's members are made up of a great diversity of businesses.
But it covers such a range of businesses, you know, all the really large employers, right down to micro one-person businesses. And that gives us a really, I suppose, important breadth of knowledge. So we can kind of gather, you know, what are people feeling at the very small end and at the very at the large end of the market or of the business community. And it's a very interesting place to be. So the Chamber tries to help all of those as much as we can, and different businesses need us at different times. Mm. But as you said, the collective helping each other is really important. And sometimes it's hard to get that across. But we watch now, particularly when we have a business development executive, Marie Shields, we kind of try and connect people as much as we possibly can. So if somebody has a need for something, we'll try and connect them to somebody else who can help them.
Yeah, and looking forward to 2024, the Chamber have a very useful tool in their Omner, in their sentiment survey, which they sort of can get a sense from the various businesses in Letterkenny and surrounds as to, you know, how they view things going. So good to see reason to be optimistic, because we're likely to see, Chris, in the first quarter, a reduction in interest rates too, as the EU tries to get its grasp, and it would say it has, on inflation. So, you know, those little things, you know, do help with sentiment and people spending the money that they have.
Absolutely. And likewise, the reduction of interest rates, there should be a knock-on effect for the mortgage rates, so that's going to help a lot of people
and
out there as well.
A bit of competition in the supermarkets at the moment.
Yeah. Big price drops.
Yeah, Lidl were the first at it, I think. And also one of the newer entrants into the electricity market again has cut its cost, which will put pressure on the others as well. So hopefully, people will see a little bit more value in their income now in 2024. Yeah. And that obviously then leads to greater spend.
And also from the retail point of view, the fact we've the new tax year coming in, people are going to see a little increase in their wages, because most people are going to be better off as a result of the changes in the budget. And also at the end of the month, there is still another bonus payment for social welfare recipients. So this is all going to be a little bit of money circulating locally. So that's good.
Yeah,
good start to the year.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Cause to be cautiously optimistic for some out there, of course, fully conscious that for others the changes won't make as significant an impact. All right, Chris Ashmore, thank you so very much indeed. The podcast, before you go, Chris, the podcast available right now. It's broadcast on Sunday evening just after the 6 o'clock news. And if anyone wants to get in touch with you, Chris.
Yes, they can drop me an email at businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Back after the break. And you're very welcome back to a really busy 9 till noon show, the first for me of the new year. So thank you so much for, as I say, keeping us busy there, giving us your feedback and so on. The food in Letterkenny is fantastic. The catering department hasn't been privatised and every meal is excellent, they say. Try being a diabetic in hospital to see the muck they serve you. That's one person's experience there. A lot of you actually get in touch with us about posting stuff to Australia, so I'll get to those in a moment, just as we get them all in the one pile. Greg, I sent a gift to a grandchild. Excuse me, please. In Armagh. It never arrived. We're not supposed to send cash in the post, even if registered. It was the post office told me that the only thing is registered mail is traceable. Greg, going back to the comment about people being asked to wear masks in the hospital, people simply don't care anymore about anyone other than themselves. We live in a selfish society. As long as I'm right, or I'm all right, stuff everyone else. It's a sad society we are living in. I do see elements of that as well. And listen, of course, the mask mandate was incredibly controversial. We know all of that. But listen, a hospital or a nursing home, I would be very reluctant personally to go in there if I wasn't feeling well, because I wouldn't want to harm someone else. And if I was asked to wear a mask so as not to spread germs to someone else who could be much more vulnerable than I am just going in to visit, well, I also would be inclined to, I'd be inclined to take that advice on board and to heed it out of respect. Good morning, Greg. Is it true that these new hate laws concern thought crimes? As in, you may have not posted hateful content, but may have digital content that could be posted and are the so-called thought crimes punishable by prison. How will this even be enforced? Listen, if you take it to the absolute extreme, the idea being that you could have an offensive item on your phone that you could potentially send on WhatsApp or something, it's not going to be enforced. Really, the hate laws haven't been adequately explained to me, but I have sought clarification on a few things, such as what you've just outlined and what have you. No, you can, and you can still actually offend and upset people on the internet as well under the new hate crime laws, if that's what you want to do. But obviously there are those that use social media and they're afraid that it will be used as a way to stymie what they have to say or to censor what they have to say. Well, we shall see. I don't know. I don't know enough about it just as of yet to say whether that's the case or not. Right, let's get back to Donegal Town. Towards the end of last year, we were talking about new one-way systems, new road layout for Donegal Town. Initially, people could see the advances, the advantages maybe even outweighing the inconvenience up until now, but it's become clear that for some, it simply is not going to be workable. It's going to be damaging to business. It's going to drive traffic into parts of the town too that hadn't ordinarily seen so much traffic. Well, we had Christmas to suck it and see, I suppose, to some extent. Pádraig Kennedy's the mayor of Donegal Town. He joins us on the programme now. Good morning, Pádraig.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning, listeners. Happy New Year.
Right, so what has the sense been over Christmas, a busy time of the year, not just for shopping, or socialising? What's the feedback you've been getting?
What the people are saying is it's not working and it's affecting their business. And chatting to business owners and chatting to people that are coming into the town, it's just a total inconvenience. And some of them wouldn't even come into the town. They'd say, I'm not going to be going in there sitting in traffic. And as you said way back, it was creating a problem that there was never a problem in. And I know initially, you know, we said we would give it a chance and maybe it would be a good job. But like, there are certain parts of the town that maybe merit a one-way system, but then there's other areas of the town that definitely don't merit a one-way system, and they're strangling the rest of the town, and it's forcing cars in on the diamond and forcing trucks to... There's a junction up at Super Value, and if you were coming down from the businesses up in the Glebe, you would not be able to turn left there. You would have to turn right and come down and go around the diamond and go back out, because that is obstructed there now. And I know in Sligo that there's they finished junctions about a month ago, and they're taking them out of it because the obstruction that's causing to buses and trucks and stuff. And, you know, I mean, I initially said, yeah, maybe it will be a good job, but I was wrong, and I would like Donegal County Council to say, you know, maybe we got some of this wrong, and before it goes any further, when they're going to resurface the roads, and I know they have some footpaths down, but like, what? It's really strangling the town, and coming into the summer season, and all the positive about Donegal and tourism and all that there, it's drawn more people to Donegal and Donegal town, and I just think, why are they going to sit in traffic trying to get into Donegal town. I don't think they will. They'll just go around the bypass and they're not going near the town at all.
Well, that's it. Bypasses can be 50-50. They can enhance a town or they can be negative for a town. Now, I think Donegal town up until now has benefited from being bypassed. But you're suggesting that these changes may actually undo that, that people would just go, you know, there's loads of options. Bundoran's there. You know, Killybegs is there. Letterkenny's there.
Yeah.
Are you afraid that it will have a negative impact on the economy and the throughput?
Well, it already is having. I could take you to four or five businesses, and I could take you to one business that even was thinking not of opening on the new year, like because of the effect that it was having on his business. And you know, it's just people are there, and they just not. Even coming in the Killybegs Road, they're sitting in traffic there where there was never traffic jams. And like, according to the plans as well, up now at the Tech and up there, they're going to widen the footpath there, and you're going to be forced to drive on into the school and turn up at the gymnasium and come back down. Like, there's no way there's enough room to take the cars off the roads to allow parents to drop off their kids at the school. So that's going to give more tailback as well there. Mm-hmm. I think they need to take a look at the whole thing. I think they need to stop. Like, Water Street...
You see, what I don't understand, we'll get to that part in a second. What I don't understand, you see, when we first... I wasn't really aware what was going on in Donegal Town, believe it or not. When I spoke to you first, and this is not to have a go at you... you've seen the lay of the land and you've changed your opinion somewhat. But I actually, at the time, I was chatting to you and Raymond Rooney, I think, at that time. I couldn't figure out the problem that was being fixed, if you know what I mean. Like, I couldn't work out, well, what is the problem that this is going to aid? What is going to improve? And I'm none the wiser now. So is it still the case if I'm coming then, say, down by John Bosco Centre and I want to go to Irwin's or Little Mac's, that I would have to go out onto the Diamond and come around the way, or if they change that?
Yeah. No. And if you were coming down and if you wanted to use the Mart Lane, which kind of there's a two-way system there that goes up the gavel of Irwin's Hardware, You can't come down there now. You would have to go round the town to come down to use that Mart Lane. And you couldn't come down past the Bosco Centre to go to Irwin's or the Vets or any of that.
Cassidy's
there,
like, or wherever, you know, it might be.
And that's forcing you back in round the Diamond to come round. Like, if you come up the main street in Donegal Town and you were only allowed to turn left down Water Street, and if you were coming up from Water Street and you're only allowed to turn left. Like that, keeping that a two-way along Water Street, New Row, you know, if people don't know, it's over by McGee's factory over that way. Keeping that whole system two-way there. I mean, initially I was in favour of it because I suppose it was given more access and accessibility on the footpath, and we were resurfacing and you know, overall appearance was going to be enhanced. But I suppose, I mean, you look at Main Street in Letterkenny, even in Sligo. I mean, would the businesses say that was a great job and it really helped their business? I would say no.
All I know is as a consumer, if I wanted to go down and get something in that area, I never had an issue with being stuck there. The road was wide enough for two cars and parking in much of it. Access to the business, generally get a parking space, never had an issue. What it sounds like now is this has been made incredibly complicated. I don't want to go on to the Diamond there. I might come over the bypass, cut in by the hotel there, Michael McIntyre's or Mickey Mac's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now I will have to go on to the Diamond if I want to go and get a spice bag out of Little Mac's, for an example.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, you're right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, how does that make sense?
No, and as you said, it created a problem where there never was a problem. And I mean, even Donegal Town, when there was never even a bypass, like, it always moved. I mean, Killybegs was flat out. Trucks used to come through the town. Everything went through the town, and it still kept moving. And now, you know, with the bypass, and the bypass did make a great job of Donegal Town. It was a big success. And Donegal thrived because of it. Mm. But this here is definitely going to strangle it. And I know there's councillors on and they're saying, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking to the people and they're saying, this is not a good job. It's not helping them. It's not enhancing their business in any way. And I would definitely appeal to the council to reconsider before they go any further.
But they're all in now, though, Park. They're all in. The roads have been narrowed at this point, some of them. I mean, this is we're too late now. The tide can't be turned.
No. It's never too late, Greg, because you know, and I'm sure you covered it, was the Tully Air Junction, as it was called there. It was never going to be changed. The NRA said, no, this would slow down traffic, it would have impact, and it would cause serious accidents if you put a roundabout there. The junction caused more accidents than the roundabout ever caused, in a way. And they were wrong, and they had to sort it out. And this, and there's certain roads in the town that merit a one-way system, but overall, the Water Street New Row, that does not merit to be one way. And
I can't see, off the top of my head, what roads merit one way. Especially if it drives more traffic up past residential properties. Are you on about either side of the river?
Well, Water Street, yeah. Castle Street, along the riverbank. Mm. You know, it's probably wide enough for one-way traffic. And I know I operated forever two-way. But, you know, coming up there, probably it merits one-way there.
Okay. And the proof of the pudding here is, and apologies to listeners from outside that area, but you'll have been down Donegal Town, you know what we're talking about, is, you know, if you're coming into Donegal Town, say, for instance, from the Tully Earl roundabout that you referenced there, you can be sitting an awful long time to get in. The question is will this do it? Or actually coming down past the church in from the other end, will this make it easier to get... Yeah, exactly. Will this make it easier to get in and around Donegal Town? Personally, I can't see how it does, especially considering... No. I'm sorry to repeat myself, but the problems are caused by a bus station in Donegal Town on the Diamond, effectively, and people... double parking right around the Diamond. Now, whilst those things persist, traffic will never move freely around Donegal Town. That is a simple fact.
And you're right. And it's amazing that one car, I'm only just stopping for 2 minutes. Like, amazing how much one car will slow the whole traffic down. And as you said, it created a problem where there were never a problem. And, I mean, if they wanted to trial it out and set out the cones and set out the system. Like, I was coming over Chaconnell Street the last day and I met a car coming at me. And I'm like, gee, you're not supposed to be here, but there again, they didn't know. There is no signs anywhere at the minute, temporary signs even saying one-way system in operation. There's nothing. I mean, why didn't they just set it out in cones and properly sign it and say, right, we're going to try this for a month and see how it works out, and if it's a success and businesses are happy, then we'll go with it. We'll set it in stone. But no, they've set it in stone. But listen, concrete can be cut and concrete can be lifted. It wouldn't be the first time footpaths were moved or lifted or adjusted and roads were set out.
Like, we'll see, Park. So, I don't know. I don't know. But you see, what will happen is that the cars, there'll be an enforcement of double parking and the buses will be moved off the Diamond, and then it'll be celebrated as a success. Where maybe we should have tried to do the traffic management and bus issue first and then see if this money would be best spent as it is. But anyway, who do I? I don't know anything. I'm just a crappy radio presenter.
But
the powers that be know everything.
As someone commented that I know nothing either. I don't know what I'm talking about neither. But do you know what? I talk to the people around and they go, I talk to the businesses, and I know overall the general feeling is one of upset and discontent or dissatisfaction with what's going on at the minute. And I think in this instance, the money could be better spent in a leisure centre, library, facilities for the youth, and, you know, rather than spend it on this here, because I do think it's wrong and I don't think it's the right way to go.
Thanks, Pádraig Kennedy, Mayor of Donegal Town. John, good morning to you. What's your observation? I think it's more to do with lorries and what have you around the town and parking.
Yes, it is, Greg. I was in Supermax there this morning for 45 minutes. I was in the car park at Supermax. And directly opposite Supermax, which is behind the fire station, there is a parking space there with bottle bins in it. Now, RD drivers and that was able to come in there, park for their break and go in and get something to eat. Well, I observed this morning the council has put a footpath down across the entrance and put the bottle bins out to the road and blocked the car park off. Now, in the wee while I was there, there were six Arctics come in. Had to go around the roundabout and go out again because they couldn't get parked anywhere. And I think it's bloody ridiculous that car park's lying empty now and they have a footpath down through it and the bottle bins are put out across the entrance.
Wow, that and I presume amongst the Arctic driving community, the word had got around that that was a handy place to park, get something to eat, yeah. Maybe have a bathroom break.
Yes, you're able to come in there, go to the toilet, get something to eat, and take your 15-minute break or whatever it was, and there were bottle bins there, but they've put the bottle bins out now. They've put a footpath down through the entrance, put bottle bins now and behind the partition there, and the whole thing blocked off. And the lorries had nowhere to park this morning. They just had to turn and go out again, wherever they went in for their break. And probably some of them was probably could have been run out of time. You don't know.
Yeah,
and I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I just wonder, though, if there are bigger plans for that bit of land there, John, that maybe that's what it was being used for temporarily?
Well, there didn't seem to be much notification of anything being done to it. It just says it's been closed.
Right. So the footpath,
sign up saying it's closed.
So the footpath continues from the fire station towards the where the GP
government buildings, HSE is there now. Right. The footpath has continued on down through
that
it now.
The car park no longer exists.
No longer exists now. There's a bottle bank in front of it.
There you go. Okay.
I think it's ridiculous.
Right. We'll see what the drivers think. John, thanks for your time this morning. Have a lovely day.
What?
Take care. All right. Okay. That's new. And if you're watching the show, you'll get to see where we're talking about as well there as we show the images. But you noticed, I wouldn't say it's a queer stretch, but have you noticed a wee stretch in the evenings? I think I have. Certainly just not quite as dark as it was around about sort of 20 past, half past four. 20 to 5, depends on how cloudy it is, though, I suppose. Was there public consultation and surveys among the business owners about these changes in Donegal Town? I've been going to Donegal for decades and never ever had an issue with traffic movement. Not sure. I think it's all part of an agenda to put people off travelling in cars and to use public transport. Okay, but there's a slight problem there. What public transport? That is the issue. Greg, my boot camp done. Time for you to start. Sure, head to IFA after the show. You're passing the place. Well, maybe I will. I could just, you know, new year, new me, 2024. Could be. Could happen. I want it to happen. I probably can't make the time. Flashing signs are too close to the school coming from Derry. Should be before the corner. Indeed, that seems to be a sentiment that's out there. Give the drivers a fair crack of the whip and get them slowed down in time for the school. Back to our conversation with Ethna, who has been off drink for almost 30 years. Ethna is correct in what a lot of things she said, but as a member of the AA since 1996, I've seen people who've only drunk once a year at a Christmas party in AA because every year when they get drunk, they got into trouble. Drink driving, extramarital situations, abuse in the home, verbal and physical blackouts, etc., etc., etc. Let me see. Post to Australia. We'll finish up with these. A number of our listeners, as you know, have gotten in touch to say that friends and family in Australia have not been receiving post from home. Mary says, last year I posted Christmas cards to my son in Sydney in November. He received them in May. Donna says, yes, my sister received everything from family. Sharon, I received an envelope from within the country that had been slit open down the side and the voucher removed. Very disheartening, not just happening with outside mail. Ranru, I'm in Australia and Australia posts are pretty useless at the best of times. Also, there are delays due to extreme weather here at the moment in every state. Martina, this happened to me last year. Sent cards, never arrived. This Christmas, I revoluted my son money. Rosemary, my post arrived to Perth. No bother, good news. Louise, yeah, sister in Australia. She's not received anything from us this year. Another, I sent a parcel to Sydney and my son received it the day after Boxing Day. Another sent package by Impost to Gold Coast. They received it, had to go to reception in their apartment to pick it up as post held there. Maybe just lucky as sent early for Christmas. Thanks, Lorna. And lastly, my family lost so many cards, some containing money. We now use envelopes and boxes from the post office. They receive all of them. It is great to be back after the break. Thank you so much for listening to the programme, for getting in contact. We're back with you again tomorrow morning from 9. From me, Greg Hughes and the team, have a wonderful Wednesday. Stay tuned. John Breslin's Around the Northwest next.